who am I to teach someone like you to give, right? What qualifications would I have? Most people in here are probably even spiritually better givers than I am, and probably financially and in many different ways. But God helped me with this not long ago. Of course, I've grown up in church. I've read this portion of scripture I have probably countless times and heard countless messages on it. And I'm not going to tell you anything new tonight, but I would like to share with you some of the benefits of giving. Many of you have gotten a new job before, and at some point in that hiring process, I'm sure you've asked something about the benefits or the benefits package. Or if you're going to invest in something, you probably want to know what's in it for me. You know, why should I invest in this? Or humanly speaking, there are so many different ways and so many different things that we want to think about the benefits. When you go to the grocery store, before you turn over your well-earned cash, you want to know the benefits. Now, I don't like to read the labels because I like sugary and bad stuff. So there are no benefits, but it'll make me happy. The goal is not to be happy. I'm not preaching that, but we always want to know the benefits. If you're buying a vehicle, you want to know the pros and cons, right? You want to know what this vehicle can do and what it cannot do. If you've ever purchased a home, you want to know some of the benefits. Is this in a place where this home will go up in value? Is there a reason it's this cheap? You know what I mean? Stuff like that. And we're always, if we think about it, most decisions in our lives, we're trying to figure out and wonder about the benefits. And I want to share with us some of the benefits of giving. Mostly, I'm talking financially, of course, giving, though, in every area of our life. But the Bible says in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 15, "Now ye Philippians know also," Philippians 4:15, "that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For even in Thessalonica ye sent once and again unto my necessity, not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. But I have all and abound, I'm full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Now unto God and our Father be glory forever and ever. Amen." Father, we love you. Thank you for this body of believers. Father, thank you for this church. Father, I'm humbled and appreciate the opportunity to be able to stand here and preach, but mostly I'd ask that you'd move me completely out of the way. Only allow me to say what you want said. And Father, it's not really a matter of will you speak to us, it's more of a matter of will we listen and will we obey. And I ask that each of us would just make the decision now to be willing to listen and then obey in that order, Father. And we love you. Please be with us in these next few moments. It's in your Son, Jesus' name, we pray. Amen. The benefits of giving. For years, when a person accepts Christ, of course we know their life is transformed, right? They become a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And one thing that becomes new is the idea of giving and sacrifice and those things. Because spiritual giving does not make sense to the carnal or natural mind. When Jesus talks about giving, he talks about that if your physical bank account decreases, if you're giving it to the correct thing, your spiritual bank account increases. That doesn't make sense to a logical person who does not have the Holy Spirit inside of them. For me, the way to build wealth is to do what? It's to build wealth, right? On this earth, the way to build wealth is not to lower all of my accounts. That's not how it works. The way to build wealth is not to give away everything or to give it to a specific cause. The way to build wealth is simply to do that. It's to build wealth. But of course, many things are opposite and different when it comes to the kingdom of God. Yep. Even Jesus Christ himself was opposite of what a normal king would be expected to do, right? When he came, he was born in a manger. That doesn't make sense to the human carnal mind. Why would someone with his power, with his connections, if you'll allow me to say, I mean, he was the son of the King of Kings, right? Someone like that should definitely not be born in a manger. But everything about Jesus was different than what the human mind can comprehend because he is different. He was different. The fact that he dies before he sets up his kingdom, for one, it's humanly impossible. If I'm a king and want to build a kingdom, I have to be breathing to build that kingdom. I have to be alive to build that kingdom. Humanly, it doesn't make sense the order that Jesus did it. In fact, one of the reasons he was crucified is because the Jews felt like he was doing it in the wrong order. They in their minds, they knew that a Messiah would come and a kingdom would be set up. And when Jesus came and when they heard about it, many thought, finally, this may be it, right? We may be released from Roman rule and all of these things. And when they found out that wasn't Jesus' purpose, they became angry. Of course, all of that was prophesied and predicted years before that in Scripture. But the benefits of giving spiritually are different. Christians have lived for themselves. When they become a new believer, you've lived for yourselves until that point. I got saved as a 10-year-old. I grew up in church. But looking back, I can see I lived for myself. Because without the Spirit of God living inside of me, I was living for myself. I tried to do right. You know, I don't have a testimony that shows a bunch of wicked living, as some may think of wicked living, but without the Spirit of Christ inside of me, everything I did was in vain. My righteousness was as filthy rags. The best thing that I could do was still sin in the eyes of the Father, because I did it in my own flesh. So as we become a new Christian, the Bible talks that it's a new birth, it's regeneration, it's being born again. It means I'm now a child again. The Bible talks about how a new believer needs milk, not the meat, right? Because and then they need to grow and grow in that. And my fear is that some Christians have grown in some ways, but maybe we haven't grown in our giving yet. We haven't grown in the understanding of what God has called us to do. Before Christ, all of my thoughts of finances and all of those things were for my own good. All of my thoughts of these are my possessions, how can I utilize them to, we can refer to it as build my own kingdom or help my own cause or help my own family and all of those things. And by the way, most of those things I just mentioned, they're not wrong in and of themselves. But that's who I was before Christ saved me. And now things are different. I remember my grandpa passed in June of 2021, my mother's father. And my grandpa has been praying for Nigeria and, well, Africa since I was, I think, 15 years old, and told him I want to go to Africa one day. And he prayed, and I remember going to my grandparents' house. Of course, I was homeschooled. I grew up in a big family. So sometimes we would take turns and go to grandma and grandpa's house for 2 or 3 days. For one, they had ESPN, and we did not. So I was spiritual. That's not why I wanted to go, but that's why my siblings would want to go. And I remember I could go there and I could get 2 weeks worth of work done in the matter of a couple days, because I was by myself and grandma took care of me hand and foot, and it was beautiful. And I remember sitting at the desk, and I remember hearing my grandparents start praying and go through their list. And I remember hearing my name and my cousin's name and church's names and all of those things. And I remember my grandma would talk about my grandfather, because I think it was in their 40s when they got saved, when they got right with God. And my grandma would always say, when your grandfather got saved, his wallet got saved. That's the way she would put it. And that always has stuck with me, because I'm now a little more seasoned in life, and I've realized there's a lot of believers who their wallet still may be lost, right? And I know that because I've been one of them oftentimes. God, you have my soul. In fact, God, you even have my physical service. I'll go where you want me to go. I'll do what you want me to do. For the most part, right? I'll do whatever it is you want me to do. If you want me to give that guy a tract, I'll give him a tract. If you want me to stand on that corner and preach the gospel, I'll preach the gospel. But what about when finances are not what I think they should be, right? I hope not only God obviously has my soul, but I also hope he has my wallet, as my grandma would say. So new Christians have lived for years unto themselves. There has to be a difference, a change that has to happen. There has to be a change that has to happen. Based on our text, of course, after leaving Philippi, Paul went to Thessalonica, and from my understanding, he was there for just a short time, a few weeks. But in that time, from what I understand, the church at Philippi sent at least 2 financial gifts to help Paul in his ministry. And I believe Paul was commending them for giving to his ministry, especially, at least at that time, as they were the only church who helped Paul in those early days of the expansion of the gospel. So what are the benefits of giving? Number one, we see in this story, this story that Paul gives is giving makes an impact. Giving makes an impact. All of us know that, because in fact, giving in our personal lives makes an impact in some ways, right? If you give me something, it will make an impact in my bank account. Giving to 401ks and Roth IRAs and stocks and all of these things, investing, oftentimes it's easy to see that giving makes an impact. But the spiritual giving we see here made an eternal impact. It enabled Paul's ministry. Paul, what some would refer to, not that we're not seeing who is the best, but many would refer to that Paul as probably one of the greatest Christians who ever lived. I don't think I would get any arguments if I made that statement, right? And yet, Paul, one of the greatest Christians who ever lived, obviously accepted gifts for the furtherance of the gospel. The giving that is talked about here, it makes an impact. And by the way, it's an eternal impact. It's a forever impact. Anyone who's ever invested, if you've ever invested and you've done it for a while, you've probably lost sometimes, right? I don't think I've ever met somebody who's invested or worked in an area financially and has never lost, right? But when you invest in the future, when you invest in eternity, you never can lose, right? The stock market, it never crashes, it never drops, it never finishes, and it stands the test of time. It stands through different presidents, it stands through different administrations, it stands through different parties. It just stands because it's invested with an eternal impact. Giving, one of the benefits is that it makes an impact. It enabled Paul's ministry. We also see here, and I believe this with all my heart, and we see this principle taught in other portions of Scripture, that the size of the gift has never been the most important thing. We see that with the widow's mite and in some different areas, that the size of the gift. We have one of our national pastors, and he started, from what I understand, the first independent Baptist missions agency in Nigeria. And our goal is one day to be sending missionaries across the continent of Africa. And he's doing a wonderful job with that. But what we found is, of course, Nigeria is it's a third world country. It's a very poor place. And what we found is many people, we have Naira there. Currently, it's 1,500 Naira to one U.S. dollar. So that's the current exchange. When I went 3.5 years ago, it was 500 to $1. Just about a year and a half ago, almost overnight, gas prices tripled. So it'd be like if you bought gas for $3 on Monday and then on Tuesday it was $9. And the country is suffering, honestly, and Nigerians are hurting. I'm bringing in dollars, so it doesn't affect me personally as much, but most Nigerians are not bringing in dollars, right? They have the Naira, which is devaluing daily, hourly in some cases, right? And so that pastor I'm talking about, he started this missions agency, and he started what he calls the 1,000 Club. And so basically, he's gone around churches around the country, and he's asked and he's challenged young people and old, would you be willing to give 1,000 Naira a month to the starting of churches in Nigeria? Now, $1,000, right? Or excuse me, 1,000 Naira currently is, 65 or 70 cents, right? And the idea behind this is that if everyone gives a little something, right? If everyone can give a little bit, if everyone can, the way we use our cell phones there, you buy credit, you prepay credit. There are no contracts for phones or anything. So you go to a shop on the side of the road. You can do it with your bank account now on your smartphone. But you go to a shop and you say, I want 500 Naira worth of credit. And they give you this small slip of paper. And then you punch in the numbers on your phone. And you can buy data packages. You can buy a gigabyte worth of data to stream or something or whatever. We've hosted, for the last 3 years now, we've run 3 different Who Will Go youth camps around in 3 different places in Nigeria with the goal of encouraging and teaching our youth that there's a big world out there that needs the gospel, and it starts right here where we're at. And I think this year in those three camps combined, we had over 400 young people. Right now in our seminary, I think five or six of them were called to preach at those youth camps the last couple of years, and God's working. But as he talks to young people, he'll say something like, would you be willing to sacrifice 2 gigabytes of data so that a church can be planted in Nigeria? Now, that may not mean anything to many of us, but for many of them, that may be what they get for the month. And young people there are just like young and older people here. We like our phones, right? We like to scroll and we like to do those things. And that challenge has, it's caused me to think oftentimes, because what if everyone just kept giving a little bit?
Yep.
Giving makes an impact. That 1,000 naira, I've met some of our young people who every month they give 1,000 naira. I've met some of our seminary students who, if at best, they'll eat one meal a day. Sometimes they'll eat more than that, but they decided that I'm going to be a church planter someday, so I want to give to church plants today. And I can tell you story after story. And what I've also seen is God blesses them for it.
Amen.
It's funny how that works. When you give physically and you give towards the cause of Christ, God doesn't forget you, right?
Yep.
Now, we teach and preach all the time. That doesn't mean that when you give, God will give you everything you want today. David said he'll give you the desires of your heart. That doesn't mean your earthly carnal desires will all be met. I believe that part of that, and there's more to it than this, but I believe part of it is when you give yourself your full life to Christ and when you're serving him, your desires change.
Absolutely.
I've seen it in my life. I don't desire the same things I did 5 years ago. Some of the things that I gave up when I left this country, I enjoy it, and I found myself coming on furloughs, and there's always a list that my family and I, we want to do while we're here, but what I found is that list keeps getting shorter, because the more time I spend, the more I realize, and by the way, I like a good time just like anybody. I like a new gun when I come back, and I like to do this experience and that experience, and I don't miss going to Walmart, I'll tell you that much, but I like all of those things, but what I found is they're still fun to do, but I've met with some friends that I grew up with, and I'm almost a little bit ashamed because the things that I used to love to do, it's hard for me to tell them, you know, they're just not that important
right.
to me anywhere,
right. yep.
because some of those friends, that's still their livelihood. The jacked up pickup truck that they constantly put new tires on and new panels on and all those things, that's
yep.
still their life, and I have nothing against that, but the desire has changed.
Yep.
Giving makes an impact. It enables Paul's ministry. The size of the gift is really not very important. The Philippian church, we see, was not very wealthy. I believe, and I don't know exactly how many people there were, but I'm assuming it's like most churches around the world. Honestly, I think every church believes that there are other churches that are full of wealthy people, right? It's kind of just that, you know, that church can give that much because they probably have some, you know, people who are really well off. And that is the case in some churches. I understand that. But most churches and works all around the world are made up of people who all work together. That's why the Bible talks about unity. That's why the Bible talks about different members of the body, because we all need each other. And I love seeing churches, and I've seen it in Nigeria where churches will take on 3 church planters. And every month, they'll send each of them 10,000 naira, which is $6 or $7. And to me, it means nothing. But when I see their overall budget, I'm shocked and awed at what they're giving. Because they realize, and one thing we're trying to teach Nigerians, and it's lessons I'm learning, is that giving makes an impact.
Amen.
Next, we see giving adds to your account. Remember, this is one of those things that doesn't really make any sense. Paul is giving us his perspective on why he is so joyful at receiving the gift from the Philippians. It's not because he speaks from want. Paul understood God was going to take care of him. Paul understood that he did not need the person's money to survive. He understood that, right? And I understand my God will take care of me. There have been times I've visited churches and I've been happy or disappointed or this or that. But what I've fundamentally come to understand is God will provide for all of my needs.
Amen.
And partially, I believe, is one reason is because I am a giver. I try to be a giver. I remember when I was 5 or 6 years old, I started giving a nickel every month to World Evangelism, right? I'm not sure what that nickel did. Humanly speaking, it really did nothing. What's that, 60 cents a year or whatever it was. But even at that time, and as I grew older, I started to understand, with this little money, I can make a difference around the world. And that nickel became 50 cents, and that 50 cents became a dollar, and now I give $2 a month, so I'm growing. And that money kept growing over time, and I realized I got my first job as a 9-year-old. I worked for my brothers, and I'm pretty sure they underpaid me, but I can't prove it. And we mowed lawns, and I worked 3 or 4 hours a week, and I realized that tithing and then giving, and when a missionary would come in, and I had a dollar or two, and I put it in the plate, and they would talk, and they would show, oftentimes it was the slideshows, and then it became the videos, and I would just sit there on the edge of my seat because I had given to him. So, and I didn't fully understand it, and I don't know that I still fully understand it, but what I knew in my little 10, 11, 12-year-old mind is that I gave a few dollars, and people are getting saved because I gave a few dollars.
Amen.
And I still can't really understand it. I still can't really describe it, but I understand that giving makes an impact. I realized that giving was adding to my account. In fact, I believe probably one of the greatest reasons I'm on the mission field today is because God taught me to give when I was a younger child. And not everyone has that testimony. And I promise you, and I think your pastor will agree with this, the best time to start giving is today. I can't change the past. If every one of us would go back and change something in the past, every believer would wish they would have done something different. Giving adds to your account. He knows that as the Philippians gave this gift, their account was increased. Of course, we know you have two accounts, and when you give to the work of the Lord, your earthly account decreases, but your heavenly account increases. And there are other portions of scripture that teach about the blessings of giving. So what I found is oftentimes my bank account decreases, my heavenly account increases, and it seems like somehow my physical bank account increases so that I can then make it decrease so that my spiritual account can increase. And then for some reason, God increases my physical account. I think you understand where I'm going. Giving adds to your account. When Jesus on this earth, he warns us not to store up treasures on earth. It's not just because wealth might be lost. So understand this. Jesus said not to store up. He didn't say because there's a chance it might be lost, right? Jesus did not say, don't store up here where moth and rust doth corrupt. He said doth. That means it will corrupt.
Right.
If this isn't a chance or maybe it will happen. Wealthy people in Nigeria oftentimes are buried with their gold. Now, I know Nigerians, and I guarantee you that that hole is opened at some point. But they'll make big shows of it. Prosperity preachers I've seen, they'll make big shows of their funerals and bury them. And for some reason, and I know where they probably are, and they definitely have no need of that wealth, and it will be buried with it. It's not a matter of if. Your portfolio, I guarantee you, it's going to be gone. Now, I understand leaving for your children's children. Those things are important and stewarding it well. And I believe the more money you have, the more people, when you steward it wisely, the more lives that can be changed. I understand that, and I believe that. But when it all comes down to it, what I have today will not be there when I'm gone. Even if it was, it wouldn't matter to me. In heaven, it definitely won't matter. In hell, it would definitely not matter. Giving adds to your account. Jesus didn't just say it might go away, it will be lost. Either it leaves us while we live or we leave it when we die. There are no exceptions. Paul saw this and knew this, and so did the Philippians, and that's what made Paul so happy. They understood. If you've ever tried to teach somebody and then the light bulb kicks on. People ask, what's your favorite part of ministry? My favorite part of ministry is seeing the light bulb come on. Sometimes it's a lost person. Sometimes it's a person who's grown up as a Pentecostal. They know their King James Bible better than I do. They learned the Romans Road when they were 3 years old, and all throughout their government schooling, public schooling, they've had a chapel service every day of their lives. And when I quote scripture, they quote it back to me. And when I ask them, how will you make heaven? That's what's on our gospel track. How will you make heaven? Every Nigerian is 100% sure they're going to heaven. We stopped asking them that. But how? How will you? And then when they tell me, because I obeyed the Ten Commandments, because I've gone to church since I was a child, I love taking the gospel and tearing apart that ideology, not because I'm good at it, but because the Bible is perfect at it.
Amen.
And sharing those scriptures and helping them understand that the only way to go to heaven is to be righteous. And we're not righteous because we've sinned, so we have a problem.
Right. Yep.
So somehow we have to attain righteousness. And the problem is, no matter how much righteousness we do, we are still not righteous.
Yep.
until we accept the shed blood of Jesus Christ as the covering, the propitiation, the appeasement of our sins. And then it's not our righteousness. Our sin is cast as far as the east is from the west. And then God, Christ, Jesus, puts his own righteousness on us. Yes. And when you see that light bulb, there's no greater feeling. If you come visit me, I'll show you. I'll take you out. I promise I'll show you where you can see it. Or it's when somebody has been saved and we're working on discipleship, and this person who I know they have nothing, I know they're living day to day, doesn't even describe it, if I'm honest. And then part of our 20-week, we have discipleship lessons we go through and curriculum we use. You can use any curriculum as long as you're discipling, but we use this. And when we get to the financial part, it doesn't always happen. I've had people leave discipleship when it comes to the financial part. Because there's no way, I barely can feed my family, so how can I tithe? I barely can feed my family, so how can I give offerings? And humanly speaking, I agree with them. I've gotten angry at God before. God, are you sure about this? I can give. Most of us in the U.S., we can tithe. And I know that I'm not belittling what we are in the U.S. at all, but then I realize, how dare I belittle God in front of this new convert? Right. To say, well, you know, you probably can't do this. How dare I keep the blessings of God from their account? But when it does happen, and it has before, where that light kicks on, it says, I don't have much, but if God commanded it, he saved me. He brought me out of Catholicism. Converted Muslims are some of my favorite people in all the world. Oftentimes, a man who is a Muslim will have the name of Muhammad somewhere in his name as one of his four or five names. And what they often do when they get baptized is they drop that name. It's an amazing picture. When you realize that when their family finds out they drop that name, they're in big trouble. Yet for the cause of Christ, they understood they no longer can identify with that religion any longer. Amen. They don't have to drop that name to be a Christian. I don't believe they necessarily have to drop that name to follow Christ. But to many of them, they in their hearts, they realize that that is their connection to their past, and they're leaving it behind. I don't know that I could ever say that I've left something like that behind. And I love seeing that light bulb. Amen. I promise you, giving adds to your account. We'll finish quickly. We see in verse 18, but I have all and abound, and I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. I love the fact you never see an amount given. I have no clue what was given. But I believe that anything that was given out of a heart that wanted to give creates a sweet odor, creates a sweet smell. Do we give out of necessity, or do we give out of obedience and desire? Most churches in the U.S. are full of givers in some way. My question is, why are we giving? Do I give because I have it to give? Do I give because that's what my mom taught me? I don't give to missions any longer because my mom taught me when I was 5 or 6. She probably would have beat me then if I didn't give. But I promise you, that's not why I give today. I give because I've seen the fruit that can abound to my account. Lastly, giving brings God's blessing, and we've all heard this verse, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. This is one of the verses you'll see on athletes' faces, right? On their eye black, and I'm not necessarily, I don't know them, I don't know who they are, but I've got a feeling they probably don't quite understand the verse, right? This verse is given, and there are some promises in the Bible that are given no matter what we do, right? I believe there are some promises in the Word of God that are given dependent upon how we act, how we serve God, whether we say yes or no to his will. And I personally believe that this is one of those verses. I don't believe God will supply all your needs according to, and by the way, when it says according to his riches and glory, it means an endless supply of money. And I know it's not just money, it could be whatever, but that's what it means. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. God owns the cattle on 1,000 hills, and he also owns the hills that the cattle are on. If I would love to be connected with some millionaires and billionaires around the world, I'd like to be a part of their inheritance. But can you imagine? I'm joint heir with Jesus Christ. Nobody else has an inheritance like my Father does. And he promises that when I give, and by the way, all this giving so far, it's been for my good. Have you noticed that? Have you noticed how it's added to my account, how it's made? Everyone wants to make an impact. I've never met a person who does not want to make an impact, lost and saved alike. Everyone wants to make a difference. Everything we've talked about giving, it helps me in every way. And then the last one here, Giving brings God's blessing. It's a comforting promise. It's comforting, but it can also be very scary, right? I hope and I want to be the person that can go to God and say, God, I've given the way you've commanded me to give, right? And this doesn't mean God will give me everything I want. And if you ask for a perfect explanation of how those things balance out, I really can't give it to you. But I do know that my God shall supply all of them according to his riches and glory. I know I have a lot of needs, but I also know the source of his riches. So that gives me a complete confidence. We haven't talked about amounts. I'll leave it for your pastor to teach you and give you many more principles. And by the way, the Bible talks a ton about finances. Something that most of us run, we don't like to talk about, we don't like to learn about necessarily, because for most people, finances are, they're just not comfortable to talk about for different reasons. Maybe it's how we grew up or the money we have or do not have. There are many reasons, but the Bible talks a lot about it, because the Bible says where your treasure is, there will your heart be. You notice he never said that your treasure will follow your heart. He always says that your heart will follow your treasure, because that's human nature. Giving, what will we do with giving? I hope you've seen some benefits. I hope you understand they far outweigh the statement that you just received from any investment that you have, and they are eternal. Let's pray, and I'll turn over to Pastor. Father, we love you. Thank you for who you are. Father, thank you for these people, and I already know that these people are a giving people. But Father, help us to understand that giving, the benefits of it. And Father, you're a God who enjoys giving benefits to your children. We see that all throughout Scripture. And I don't know exactly why this message was needed and for what purpose, for what individual, but Father, help us to understand the benefits of giving. In your Son, Jesus' name we pray, amen.